Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the Super Soul Sunday After Show here on the Life Coach Radio Network. I'm Talisha Ellis, and this is the Super Soul Sunday Show After Show where Oprah Winfrey interviews Devon Franklin. And I have to say, it was such an amazing show. There was so many great nuggets in it as Devon shared with us how he balances his Hollywood life with his faith. And today I have with me my fellow co-host, is Trina Ramsey and Danica Treble. So I'd like to take a moment first to allow them to introduce themselves and to say hello. So let's start off first with Danica.
Good afternoon, everyone. Oh, my goodness. I'm still processing everything I just watched, but I will definitely start with my name and what I do. My name is Danica Treble. I am a family dynamics, communication, and life coach. I believe in the power of effective communication, that life is about relationships, and relationships are based on communication. And interestingly enough, as we'll talk about during the show, what we just watched on Super Soul Sunday, I always say that everyone breathing and who has ever breathed life and or breathed in this life desires to be acknowledged and accepted for who they are so they can live in their authenticity and live out their purposes. And so that's what I feel I'm created to do and that I love doing. And so it's an honor to be able to spend this time with you ladies and everyone listening, being able to discuss this. And if anyone would like to find out a little bit more about me through the the internet, my website is danicatreble.com, danicatreble.com. And social media, of course, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Google, Google Plus, and LinkedIn. So ladies, thank you so much for having me on this show. It's on time, and I know that this hour is going to fly by, so I'll stop talking and let you guys get down to it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for being here with us today, Danica. And Trina, I'd like for you to go ahead and tell our audience a little bit about you.
Thank you, Talisha and Danica. It's wonderful to have the opportunity to share this special hour on the heels of such a powerful show. That was just amazing. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation. My name is Trina Ramsey. I'm a career and life coach based in the Washington, D.C. area. And my focus is really on helping people to embrace what's next in their life. So we're talking about life purpose. We're talking about pushing past negative self-concepts and things that are holding you back and really creating the life that you were authentically built to live. And that's really what my passion is and my purpose. And I host a show here on Life Coach Radio Networks called Career Talk with Coach Trina. I have a page on Facebook there. And you can find more about me on my website, mycoachtrina.com. And so, yes, I'm excited.
Great, great. You know, my listeners, I'm Talisha Ellis, and I am also a life purpose and well-being coach. I'm the owner of Experience Anew, and Experience Anew basically represents freedom. I have a deep passion for seeing people show up healthy, whole, and conscious. So I help clients work on reducing stress so that they can have more success with smaller effort. And so I really would love to talk with you. If you'd like to talk to me, you can reach me at TalishaEllis@experiencenew.com. And hopefully we can have a great talk today on our show. So I know we have so many great nuggets. It was so awesome to listen to this show today. But before we begin, I would like to invite our listeners, if you do have any questions or you'd like to just chime in on the discussion, you can call in at 347-857-2878. Again, if any listeners would like to chime in on a call, they can call 347-857-2878. So great, let's dig right in. So ladies, what did you think overall about the show? Trina, I think I'll start with you. Tell me about what you got from the show.
Well, it was just so powerful. He's very impressive. And one of the things I'll say is that, you know, those of us who work in these kind of positive, forward-thinking realms of life sometimes can have stereotypes about people in Hollywood. And I would say that he, the fact that the way that he embraces his role in Hollywood and his faith, and he embraces them both unapologetically, and we can get into that a little bit later. But I was just really impressed with who he is and what he stands for. Even from an early age, he talked about when he was an intern. So there, yeah, I was tweeting, I was on Facebook. Like, there's so many little quotables that we're going to get into. But I'm just super impressive and inspiring, and I'm definitely going to read the book.
Right, yeah. You mentioned his book, and for our listeners, his book was called, It's Produced by Faith. So his book is called Produced by Faith, and it talks about how he allowed the vision of God to drive his life in Hollywood and in his career. And it's also a good read. I think I'll be able to read, too. So, Danica, tell us a little bit about what you did on the show.
Cool. Well, I'll just piggyback what you said, Trina, about the stereotypes. You know, there's so much going around about Oprah not being a Christian, and she, you know, talks, or so I've heard, negatively about Jesus and all these things. And for Mr. Franklin to be able to just sit there and confidently, and like you said, unapologetically speak on his faith, and not once did he waver and like, well, I don't, maybe, you know, he was just, he believes it, he speaks it, he walks it. He is the example that he's walking his talk. And the world needs more of that right now. And, you know, I'll just go ahead and jump into the one thing that I've been really, really saying consistently for the last, well, daily for the last couple months, but consistently over the last few years, is nothing else matters when you get right down to it but love. Love is the only thing that is ever going to last in this world, and it's the only thing that's going to make an impression to change generations and legacies. And if we don't know where the source of that love is, or our identity in that love, look at our society as it is now. And so when we can walk in that confidence, man, it's a game changer. So this was really, you know, watching this, the encore of the show was like, the fire, it just rekindled my fire to just get out there and, you know, walk, learn more about it, what it, love truly is, and walk it and be that example. People, you know, people are so visual now that words are so undervalued and underrated that when we can just live the example, that's more powerful. And so that's one of the things I personally got. But like you said, there's so many nuggets that I'm still just like, oh,
right. Right. She said something great, Danica. You said a lot of words are undervalued, or I'll add to it, they're misused or overused, because, you know, Devon gave a definition of success, and he said for him, success is peace. And when Oprah had him to elaborate it on a little more, basically he attributed his peace to the ability to be able to embrace with his true self. He asked the audience, do you like the person that you see in the mirror? And I think that's so critical to anything that we do. He brought up the point that, you know, the reason for him even writing a book is that because our life is like a movie. We have all these things, whether we're a child, a teenager, an adult, has all these things that we go through. But overall, God is still the director. And he mentioned that his faith is what propels him forward. So putting those two together, you know, as far as success and their life being a movie, can you share with our audience how that has maybe applied to your life when you allowed God to direct your movie, or if you had problems maybe thinking that you were not the main actor in your movie or something like that? Anything you'd like to share? Katrina, how about you help us with that?
Okay. Say the question one more time.
Well, I said, when was the time that you may have, basically, when was the time you may not have seemed like you may not have been able to embrace the fact that God is the director of your movie and that your success in whatever you do will come from being able to embrace you as the main actor?
Oh, yeah. Wow. So, there's two things that I can point to, and they were both losses. I really resonated with what he said about losing his father at the age of 36. His father was 36 when he passed away, and my mother was 35 when she passed away. I was 14 years old. And that was a pivotal point in my life. I already knew Christ at that point, and it did help, you know, secure a foundation. But I also had a very large extended family that helped us get through, me and my two younger sisters, to get through that point. And they took us in and they surrounded us with love. And so the love that God shows us through the other people in our lives and the way that he demonstrates that he has you even when tragedies arise, that has been something that I have reflected on years since. And when I passed the age of 35, the age that my mom passed away, that was another year that was very difficult for me. And every year, her birthday, Mother's Day, the date that she passed away, it feels different. Sometimes it's celebrating. Sometimes I'm very sad. Sometimes I'm blowing up Facebook with a collage of pictures of her and just, you know, telling her that I miss her. But there is no doubt in my mind that God has been with me through the darkest times of my life. And that is one of the reasons that I'm here, and that's one of the reasons that I am so demonstrative with my faith.
Wow. And what a beautiful story of authenticity that you're okay with your process. You know, like you said, sometimes it's I miss you, and sometimes it's a celebration. You know, we cannot hide who we are and what we're feeling and what we're going through, or we're being inauthentic.
Exactly.
And so thank you for sharing that and allowing our listeners to realize that, you know, society says you shouldn't feel and you shouldn't do this and you have to be strong and you have to do this. No, you don't. You have to be honest with yourself and what you're going through and just be you. So, again, thank you for that.
Yes, thank you for sharing that. And thank you, Danica. Yeah, because that goes to another point that Devon brought up. He said that there's no story without conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we would not grow if we don't have conflict. And tell me, Danica, what do you think about that statement?
Well, I had written down, let's see, I've got like 4 pages of notes. And that's not even all of them. I was just like, but I think that's huge. Like what he said was, you know, we can't have conflict, but getting to the root of why of everything is critical. If we just take things at face value, oh, I've heard that God doesn't love me, so he's going to give and take away at his will. And, you know, I'm supposed to be poor and I'm supposed to be broke and I'm supposed to be this, this, and this. No, that's your philosophy that you've been handed down through life. Don't buy it. If you don't believe it's true and it's not making you feel like empowered, think different, investigate for yourself, find your own philosophy. And that's what I've been doing. And honestly, it's only through the word of God that I have been able to become so confident in who I am. But like you were saying, he said, on conflict, I wrote it down, now I can't find it, but there's no story without conflict.
Without
God
conflict.
Desires a closer relationship with us. And that's our character building season, is that conflict. It's not like he's saying, oh, you've been a bad girl, Danica, therefore I'm going to remove this person from your life. Or I know you love them, but, you know, you did this, and so I'm punishing you for that. No, he desires to be our foundation, our where we go first to know what is for our best. And when we're able to lean on him and his word and what he's already suffered for us to do, then the conflict, season becomes shortened, and the blessings can follow that much faster, because that's his whole desire, is to allow us to feel and experience his love so we can walk it out and be that example. And so that was just so powerful. It's all about the relationship. It's all about relationship. And every relationship is based on communication. And like he said, communication with God is prayer. It's active expression, but it's also active listening.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can listen and stay in our own lane and do what it is God tells us to do, because we've developed that relationship through conflict and through success, no one can shake it. And we need more of that.
Right. Yes, as he mentioned, you know, down in a statement I wrote down, he said, was, what are you crying over that is dead? And for me, you know, when you're dealing with conflict, a lot of times we get to the point where we think that God is not listening to us and he must hate us. And like he said in the show, is that some people don't allow God to be the director. And they forget that God wants the best out of us. And sometimes we can get so comfortable in a situation, you know, or, we don't understand why this happened, but we don't make room to sit down and talk with God, to listen to him, to tell us why, because he is a loving God and he does desire our success. And holding on to that faith when you can't see anything is, like you said, going back to the main key, is you have to have clarity for the story. We all have a movie that we're in, and it's called our life. And God is the director. And so the other thing they brought is how people forget that, and sometimes they will edge God out, or the ego acronym that they use.
Mm-hmm.
So Trina, what do you think, what is your definition of success?
Oh, wow. Well, can I first react to something that you ladies talked about, which is the us getting in God's way. And it's one of the things that me and some of my girlfriends will laugh about, that whole notion of let go and let God. You know, of course, being the oldest child and losing my mom early, I was raised to be strong. And so, you know, we laugh because it's like you just trying to take care of things in your own will and in your own knowledge, and you have no idea what God's plan is. And we just talk about how he's probably looking down like, okay, well, are you done yet? Because that, you know, I'm trying to work here and you're
you know? right.
Right.
You
hello.
Okay, we're going to cut that scene, or maybe use that as the personal development. That's what it
all right, I'll give her that one. Next.
Right. That's in the blooper reel.
Yeah, seriously. And it's good to be able to laugh at yourself when you do realize it, because some of us, we never realize it, and so we just continue to beat our heads against the wall. But it is so freeing when you realize that God really is in control, and you don't have to have it all figured out, and you don't have to, you know, plan it all and figure it out. And I love what he said, the two things that are the two things we're in control of are how we prepare for what happens and how we respond to what has happened. And only God is actually in control of what actually happens. And that is like so powerful. I've never heard it put exactly that way, but it really, really resonated with me.
Absolutely.
So I'm sorry, it's a tangent. And you had asked me a question.
That was awesome. That's great, because that is a great point, you know, because people do things. We have a hard time letting go, especially us as women. And to that saying, let go and let God, or what would Jesus do, and all those things that we have in our little mental toolbox, they are not that easy to implement a lot of times when we're actually going through our struggle or our conflict, because nobody likes to be a negative space or any space that feels uncomfortable. You know, the kids act up. You want them to be the best kids in the world, to wake up every day respectful and do everything you say, but it doesn't work that way. You know, you want the car not to break down. You want to not lose your job or have, you know, employees or coworkers that get on your nerves. But unfortunately, we do. You know, and you have to get back to that point to know, like I said in another show, I talked about what I always tell you, the Romans 8:28 case. And in Romans 8:28, the Bible says, all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And we forget that everything that goes into cakes or whatever, it may be nasty by themselves because you have eggs, you have milk and flour and all these things. Just like in our life, we have all these things that happen every day. And right then in that moment, all you can see is the nasty. But when you, a lot of times you look back and like you say, you can say, oh man, I'm so glad that happened. And that's when that statement becomes true, that all things work together for the good. You can't see it right then, but the director is doing his job. And right. I think you lose sight of that. Yes.
So, right. Yeah, that's one of my favorite scriptures. That's one of my absolute favorite scriptures. Very powerful.
And I think too, for a lot of us, for me specifically, for a really long time, I felt like I had no control over my life. I grew up in an environment where I had no voice. Every decision was made for me. I had no influence other than your best is never good enough, so I better handle your deal for you. So I felt powerless and out of control. And so I was searching for control, and that led to eating disorders. So when we hear let go and let God and God is in control, sometimes that's like, I already don't have control. You want me to give something up to this, something? No, you know? And so that can be such a hindrance for some people. But when we understand that control in this situation doesn't mean for our worst, it's for our betterment. And because he loves us, that he desires to handle all of the details. As a matter of fact, he's already handled the details, and it's just our faith and our trust that allows them to manifest in our lives. And that's the definition of control, is, hey, I got you. I want the best for you. I don't necessarily want to dictate to you, but I desire for you to have my best. And for that, this is what needs to happen.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, because like Trina mentioned earlier, or maybe it was you, Danica, where this is all about relationship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in any relationship, whether it's with your parents or with your spouse or whatever, you know the other person. You've taken time, you've had conversations with them. Mm-hmm. About them, it's not true. They're normal therapy. Like, you won't believe no matter what they say. Thing we have to get to with God is that in our life, when we're going through our story and our movie is playing out, we have to go, no, I know that this is what God wants for us, because sometimes it's not going to look that way. First I'll take a moment really quick, and I'll let you know what our next three shows are. And also, I just want to take a break to say that if you have anyone that's calling in and if they'd like to speak, if they can dial in again to 347-857-2878. It's such an awesome show that was on, and there's so many nuggets that we had to talk about, and we'd love to hear from our guests. Again, that number is 347-857-2878. So time is passing really fast, so I do want to take this time to plug in and let you all know also here on the Life Coach Chat channel is that we do have three other shows that are coming up in the next couple of days. Tomorrow, the 17th at 2 p.m., if you'd like to, you can join the Holy Shift with Coaches Barb Heenan and Leslie Picciotti. And then on the next day, the 18th at 7 p.m., you can transform your life with Coach Tamara, where she'll be talking about conversations with her younger self. It's a part two. So if you go back into the archives, you can listen to part one first. And then on the 19th at 12 p.m., the show with Danica again, and Asa and Gina, they're going to be talking about how to live more by doing. So, again, this call today is so great, and I mean, I've been enjoying it so much. So for the next half of this call, I would love for us to dig into some of the points that Jeff engaged with that we could share with our audience and kind of elaborate on. The first one he talked about was how it's nothing worse than going on set as he's a movie producer and having someone, an actor, that doesn't know the intention for the scene. And he kind of correlated that back to us in our lives, how a lot of times we don't even understand why we're doing what we're doing. We're just going from day to day. And Danica, can you share with our audience how that may have hindered you in the past or may have helped you by having some clarity in what you were going through during that trying time?
I was having a hard time hearing the first part of that, but I think you were referring to like when he was talking about, when they were both talking about just waking up, surviving a day, basically. Is that what
yes.
you wanted me to touch on? Oh yeah, I lived most of my life doing that. you know, I'd always felt like there was so much more that I was missing out on. I was so unhappy, but I didn't have the life skills or, like I had said, the influences around me to show me any different. I didn't think. I had my, you know, my generational philosophies handed down to me, and I bought those as the gospel, so to speak. And so I never questioned anything. And so my life, I lived, like he was saying, you know, go to school, get good grades, get a good job, and be successful as far as society is concerned. And I have to tell everybody I'm 24 perpetually, so I'm just going to stick with that. But it wasn't until just a few years ago when I was, well, I just saw something today. It's like I'm 25 plus shipping and handling. So when I was in the shipping and handling age range, I was like, no, this can't be it. There's just, no, I'm working 80 hours a week plus for two different jobs. I've got no time with my family. And I believe you ladies know a little bit about my story. And if anyone's heard another show with me, I'm sure they've heard my story. But, you know, I was so involved in eating disorders that was the most intimate relationship I'd ever had. And it was the majority of my life. For more years than I've lived with eating disorders than I've been without. And so I didn't know any different. And so I removed myself from my kids' lives for a while because I didn't desire them to be like me or worse. And so I knew I had to get me together. And then finally I went back home to be, I have two sons, to be the example to my sons when they started dating of what kind of woman they should really be looking for, not the kind that they had remembered me to be. And so, you know, I went back and I was working all those hours and I was tired and I didn't have any time with them. And when I did, I was just too unavailable for them again. And so finally I was like, no, this is not what life is about. It's not about just surviving a day to not even make ends meet, to still be broke, to still be, you know, that horrible example of a woman and a, you know, a human being. But I just was like, okay, God, here we go. If your word is true and you cannot lie, let's do this. And so I've been on that path. I quit working a job as my means of survival from that minute on. It was August of 2012. And I can promise you this. Every single month, all of my bills have been covered. I have never once gone without food. I have never once gone without shelter. I have never once gone without. There are times it didn't turn out the way I thought it would or should. Let me put it that way, the way I thought it should, but it turned out better. I learned from being, I was penniless, jobless, homeless. But like I said, every bill was met. I had a roof over my head every single night for the last 3-4 years now without having a job. And I learned through that, through having nothing, that love will find you, meet you, and sustain you wherever you are. And it will show up like you will not imagine.
Oh, Danica.
And so that's why I desire to share it, because it's
powerful and beautiful and sustaining. And there's so much pain in this world because we don't let love in. And it's so unnecessary. So, sorry.
That's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you. Yes. And it sounds like when you decide to set some intentions and to take control of your life and to love yourself, kind of like what Devin said, embracing your true self, those hours didn't work for you, that you had to step out on faith. And,
yeah.
And it sounds like that God showed up. He did what he said he would do. And regardless to however someone else may have saw it or whatever, you did what was true to you at that moment. Anything you want to add back for us, Trina?
You're a little breaking up a little bit. Can you repeat what you said? I'm sorry.
Can you hear me better now?
A little bit.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time hearing you too.
Yeah. So just repeat what you just said. I heard my name, but I didn't hear what you said before.
You didn't embrace the true self and do what was supposed to be about your life and about will be faithful and do what he said he's going to do. And overall, it's about setting the intention for your life, you know, being motivated by what is true to you. So I think we had anything to add to that. But a question I could really ask, if you could share with our audience what importance it is to set intentions or knowing the motivation for what you're doing.
Absolutely. So, and you're clear now.
I had on headphones. I'm sorry.
I definitely believe that, and part of the reason that I do the work that I do is it's really easy to fall into that autopilot zone and to end up doing work that either other people expect of you or that you're good at, but does not fulfill you and does not call forth your true purpose. And I have been on both sides of that. I actually have a degree in information systems, which was, you know, following the path when I was young. And, you're smart. You should go into computers. Now, this is back in the 80s, and I'm definitely not 24, 25. But it took me 2 years of working at IBM to realize that this was not it for me. I felt like a cog in a wheel. I felt like even the way I dressed was different from the rest of the women. This was back in the days where they were wearing those really structured blue suits, mm-hmm. with the little rosette pins and the pleated blouses, and I'm just like, gosh, that's stuffy. So I would show up at work in, like, bright colors and, you know, I was like, I'm wearing a suit, but it's going to be powder blue. Or I had this peach suit with pleats. It was peach and it was linen, and it had pleats in it, and I just loved it. But it just, like, I didn't have black. I didn't have navy blue. I couldn't do that, you know. But so even then, that's when I realized that wasn't really it for me, and it took years for me to really figure it out. And it took for me to also grow into who I am and into my own maturity. And I think that's part of what needs to happen is that as you are growing in faith and as you are starting to really understand who you are and whose you are and who you're not and tune into your own personal truth, that really helps to really formulate your decisions. And if you incorporate prayer into your life and if you reach to God and ask him to help you to really understand what it is that he has for you to do, what is the purpose that he has created you for, things will show up. I can't say that I ever heard, quote unquote, the voice of God. Not in this context anyway. Some people claim to hear God speak very clearly. I have not had that in my career. I've had it in my personal life. But I definitely have had these movements, and all the movements and the different career changes that I made brought me closer to my calling of being a coach and also using my life as an example in terms of overcoming adversity and the poverty, the dealing with having my mom pass when I was so young and having to overcome that and having to lean on others and be vulnerable. And then also being in these different work situations and understanding that this doesn't speak to me and there's more work that I have to do. And being in a job that I was getting paid for, but that I was going to work angry every day and realizing mm-hmm. that is not who I am and that's not what I'm called for. All these things over time help you to continue to consistently make changes and make moves if you are able to tune in and start paying attention to who you are internally and not so much what the world has to offer you.
Mm-hmm. That's real. That's good stuff. And if I could jump in real quick and just kind of, again, piggyback that with what Devon Franklin had said when he was interviewing for the position with Will Smith,
mm-hmm.
he spoke up and said, yeah, I'm good, but I can't do Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. And, you know, there's mm-hmm. so much fear around speaking our truth and our beliefs that we think, oh, we need this job more than we need to speak up. We'll never get another opportunity. And I did that in relationships. Oh, I have to compromise myself to keep what is ultimately not mine anyway. It's not serving me. But I didn't know my worth enough to be like, you know what? I'm still going to speak my truth. If you need to step, okay, you're lost, you know? But it's you know, to be able to be that unapologetic with your beliefs and that so confident in that, you know, this is who I am, this is what I do, and if you don't like it, it's your loss, not mine. That means there's something better. Like, what was that one thing we were all tweeting? If your faith doesn't fit through the door that opened, then
don't
God didn't put that
it.
Door there. Yeah, that was so good. So
yeah.
good.
Yeah, and you know what I was really impressed about with that story? He was interviewing for an internship, which means he was pretty young.
Right.
He was pretty young to be that grounded and to, you know, he said that he was going to say, you know, that the Lord was talking to him in the interview and saying, okay, you need to let them know about the Friday, Saturday thing. And he said, no, I'll just wait until I get the job and then I'll tell you. But he stepped out on faith, which to me, that's also a test of proclaiming. If you are a person of faith, if you follow God, not being ashamed of saying, this is who I am and this is part of my life, and not compromising on that in order to please other people. And he got the job. So, you know,
yes,
what is it to be afraid of? Yeah. And the rest is history, right? So, as they say.
Absolutely.
Right. You know, That's so key to, you know, surviving our life struggles because, the 360 point, you know, a lot of times for us that are older that come to Christ or, you know, wake up and have an epiphany about something, we have to spend some time making that first 180. But I call it 360 straight because it's not a circle, you're going forward. So first I have to come back from where I was and get to where I was supposed to be first. And then I have to spend some time growing, you know, start growing into who I was supposed to be in the first place, mm-hmm. you know, because I've been living in somebody's shadows or walking somebody else's walk for so long. I have to do not just a 180, I have to do a 360 to go back. So it's what I call it, the 360 straight, you know, you talk about the three.
I like that. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, because it goes into his stages. He talked about development and the production before you can even get to the sequel. And we want to skip the development stage and go straight into production in our lives. You know, hey, God said I'm going to be a famous singer. Yeah, they want to walk out on stage and tomorrow become the next American Idol, but it doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think a lot of times we do have to work a little harder to hold on to our faith and celebrate the successes, the small successes, because sometimes we don't need to just do a 180. Like I said, we have to do a whole 360 to get back on path. So, yeah, that was awesome. Wow. I mean, like I said, it was such an amazing show with so much information. The other thing I wanted to talk about is, and then we just mentioned it a little, was about the setting the boundaries, you know, in our journey. So how important do you think that the surviving or being successful? And whoever would like to, Trina, if you'd like to share something with us.
Sure. I honestly think it's crucial because we can, there are so many, and so I'm going to use my career coach perspective on this and talk about the work life. We are in this 24/7 on-demand work cycle right now, which is unbelievable, where people are afraid to take vacations. They're, you know, taking their vacation time in two and 3 day spurts instead of taking a week off. They're working while they're on vacation, emailing, et cetera. I recently had a conversation with someone who was having difficulty. She was a newer employee and she was having difficulty. She was about to go on a week away with her family. And she said, well, my boss, he's the type that he was emailing on Father's Day, and he's a grandfather. So he was doing emails instead of being with his family on Father's Day. And that happens. You know, people, there's just a lot of demands, and especially if you're in charge, you just feel like you have to keep up with it. But so I encouraged her to have a conversation with him about her vacation and set that expectation right then and there before she left that, okay, while I'm away on vacation, I really want to be with my family, and I'm not expecting to be on emails, and I hope you don't expect for me to actually respond to emails. And she reported to me after it was over with that she actually was able to have that conversation, and he honored her request. And sometimes it's just as simple as that. It's just like Devon with the interview. These are not unreasonable requests, but you have to stand in your own integrity, because otherwise the workplace, the marketplace, other people, they will put their demands on you, and they will really wear you out, and you will end up burnt out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And something that just came to mind when you were talking was we teach people how to treat us.
Yes.
And if we allow them to treat us to their standards, which don't match ours, then it's way out of balance. And this is something I can speak on because I have the knowledge, but I'm in the development stage. You know, we're still in production on this one. I'm working through it and learning that, you know, it's true. It is so true. I do not desire, but this has come from, you know, knowing who I am in Christ and you know, just learning my true identity. And like I said, if the Bible is true or if it's not, I'm finding out for myself. And so far, it's working. And so that's built my confidence in who I am and being able to set those boundaries and be like, sucks for you, basically, because this is what I believe and this is who I am and this is who Jesus says I am. Therefore, y'all are missing out. And then if we do stand in our integrity, then we offer that space for other people who are watching us to do the same. How do we know that the person that we're not interviewing with is sitting there desperate for the an example of being able to speak with their own voice? And so we step up and say, hey, these are my boundaries. This is how you can treat me. And they're like stopped in their tracks and they're like, dude, she did that? I can do that. Mm. I saw what it for her. I can do that. That's what I've been praying for. It works like that.
Yeah, that just recently happened to me. I'm partnered with a nutritionist so we can put better.
I can't. Lisa, you're getting fuzzy again.
Yeah, I can't hear you at all.
can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, I have to talk really loud then. I was saying that that recently happened to me, you know, and that's important because I'm partnering with a nutritionist so that we could both serve our clients better. And when we met together one day, I sat down and I was like, oh my gosh, I just had this strong urge to pray. And I was praying to somebody. I don't know if you can still hear me. This is so horrible.
I wonder if you try to call in. We've got a call back in.
Okay.
We'll have a better connection.
Yeah. Okay, well, you girl, thank you for, I'll lead you to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, what's like been said?
All right. So Danica, what was your absolute favorite moment of the show?
Really? I can't think there's one. I mean, I told you I took four pages front and back of notes, and I still, something that as I'm flipping through my notes, I love that, you know, he uses the Sabbath as sundown to sundown, where he doesn't check his email, he doesn't answer his phone, he turns everything off. And a few years ago, it was after I had said I wasn't going to do a J-O-B anymore, this called me out today, had set out to do at least one day a month where I turned everything off to disconnect, to reconnect. Mm. You know, just like shut it down, read, whatever. No phone, no Facebook, no Instagram, no nothing. Maybe go to the beach if I could, or, you know, just spend time in silence, absolute silence. And I did it twice.
And it, you're going to do it how, once a what?
Once a month, even,
that's,
you know?
Yeah,
and
that's really powerful. Mm-hmm.
But it is. And so when we can just take that time, like you were saying about taking a vacation, even if it's just an hour or two, people don't even take lunch at work anymore. And no wonder our society is so twisted. People don't even eat. They can't even nourish their bodies, let enough their souls. And so we got to get back to that. We got to get back to taking care of ourselves so that we can effectively take care of everything we've been put here to take care of. And it's just, you know, and it's just setting those boundaries, teaching people how to treat us.
Exactly. Talisha, are you back?
I'm back. Can you hear me better?
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful.
Yay.
Well, to our callers, thank you so much for hanging in there. This is my first show I'm leading, but hey, it's a great show to lead, and I'm happy to be on the call still. So yeah, I'm back, and hopefully
you're
we'll
doing
have
a great job.
Hang up.
Yeah, you're awesome.
So, but yeah, I caught the end of that, and that one, that's awesome. There. And passing up by respect, so I will continue on, and basically, this was an awesome show, and I think it's so applicable to anybody at any stage that they're in. And the book sounds a great book to get by the author. He said his book is called Reduce Space.
I can't hear you.
Almost, Trina, if you don't mind, can you continue leading the call for me? Because my phone must not sort of work out that way.
Absolutely. Okay. So one of the things I have to say, and I was really struck by this story that he told about the faith walk when he quit his job. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, basically described, for those who didn't see it, he described a scenario where he really felt like, okay, this wasn't what he should be doing. And he went into the bathroom. Maybe it wasn't literally the bathroom, but had a conversation with God about, okay, I need a sign that this is what I need to do in order to move forward. And he went and talked to management and basically had a conversation saying, well, I really think that this is what I want. And they said, well, you know, we really think that this means that you should move on and we will help you find another job. Am I conflating two stories? I feel like I'm conflating two stories. Danica.
No, go ahead. I got you.
Yeah, but so basically it was a time when he stood on his principles and decided that it was time to go. And he walked out of there without a job. And the very next day, his first day of quote-unquote unemployment, he got a call with a job offer over the phone for a position that he had interviewed with over a month ago. So literally, and it, to me, what spoke to me was the whole principle, and we talk about this a lot in coaching, of you need to let, if you want something, you have to let go of what you have in order to get what you want. You got to open your hand. You can't expand and grow with a closed fist. You've got to open your hand, which means you have to let go of what you have in order to reach for what is for you. And so apparently this was an even greater opportunity, and it really took him to step out on faith and take that leap of faith that Danica was talking about a little while ago. Sometimes you have to step out there. And if you are someone who trusts and believes in God, that is one of those moments where you really can let go. And that doesn't mean it's going to turn out perfect. And that's how Danica had discussed it. It wasn't a perfect scenario, but I can tell you from my experience with her, certainly, Danica, you strike me as someone who is freer and who has the opportunity to live your truth and your faith every day in the work that you do, and that you have really done that thing that Talisha was talking about, brought all the things, all the difficulties that you have had in your life, and they are being put to work for your good. That's Romans 8:28. So thank God for experiences, even the bumps and bruises, right?
Yes, ma'am. Beauty for Ashes.
Yes, yes.
Wonderful book, too.
Ooh, I missed that. What's it called?
Beauty for Ashes. I'm not sure who's the author. I read it a long time ago.
It's probably Joyce Meyer.
Oh, and we love her. Is it Beautiful Ashes or Beauty for
Ashes? Beauty for Ashes.
Beauty for, yeah. Sometimes the things we cling to, like you were saying, Trina, you know, get ripped out of our hands and burned down to ashes so that they can be reformed into something beautiful, just like potter's clay, you know, you start with a big old blob, and as it transforms into a beautiful piece of art. But if we just stay as a blob, then, you know, we're never going to fulfill our purpose.
Right.
So, and you had said something too about if we trust God and we step out in faith. When I stepped out, I got to be honest, I only was trying to see if God would be real. I didn't necessarily trust him. I knew what I heard, but I didn't have 100% confidence that net was going to appear, that my grow them wings people talk about. I was like, I just knew I had to do what I had to do, because what I wasn't doing was not life. So I was like, okay, I got to do something because this ain't it. So, you know, and that was honestly the start of my development of learning to trust God. I was like, this works. What if I do this? If I try this? What if I step here? And a lot of times, you know, like you were saying, you don't necessarily hear God speak sometimes, like with your career and things. Sometimes, and I say this for other people who are testing the waters, it's some people actually hear what, you know, do this. Other people get an unction, you don't necessarily want to call it a feeling, but like an urge with senses, with like, this feels a lot better than what this is. What if I try this?
Right.
And, you know, it's just really, again, building that relationship, learning that communication, learning how God speaks to you, because it's different for everyone. And I know I used to put pressure on myself. Oh, well, Jesus talks to this person like that, so I got to go and listen. I got to go sit on the mountain for 6 hours and let Jesus speak to me. And, you know, it doesn't work like that.
Right.
Also, you know, I also put my definition of father against what God was. And I didn't really have that great of a relationship with my father, so I put that same
definition around God. So I was like, okay, he's a disciplinarian. He's unavailable. He only shows up when I need to get in trouble. And so with that's why we need to individually develop a personal, get to know God and how he desperately loves us individually and specifically.
Exactly. Wow. That's
wow. Oh, great. I just don't know how to go about it. But this week, everybody's movie is their movie. And and what you may be holding on to, that may have been in scene two, which is in scene five. So we just have to stay close to God so we can hear his voice. I think it was Elijah and the devil, maybe they have faith for me. But when he was listening to God, he, and there was no stutter, but that was a God. And there was a minute God was in there. There was a real small voice. So sometimes he does it in a lot of different ways, but it's all about spending time with him and being able to hear how he talks with you or interacts with you. I'm a person who hears God. I can hear somebody, it's going to be okay, it's okay. Or you're going to walk this way, and that's the way I was supposed to go. No, that's not everybody.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, yeah. It's like a family deal with our kids differently. I deal with us accordingly. So, you know, we have to take it into account when they hurt for you. They're not okay. That's not the way God works. So take you through your journey.
But it actually led me to kind of underscore a couple of things. One of them is something that I put on Facebook that he said, and this is about that walk with God. And Danica, you said something about him being that you had kind of envisioned, you know, a disciplinarian, an angry God, you know, a God who corrects you, et cetera. And what Devon Franklin said today, he said that God is not just Alpha and Omega. He is my friend. He is the lover of my soul. And I just thought that was really powerful because he does want, I mean, yes, things don't always go right. In fact, we talked about the whole issue of conflict and how that helps you grow, and sometimes greatness comes out of that conflict. So our walk is not going to be all rosy and perfect. But God is ultimately working towards our good and towards our betterment. And if we understand that and look at the difficulties in life as part of how he is growing us and what lessons we can learn so that we can move forward, so that we can have that success that he wants for us and use it as a stepping stone and not just think of it as, oh, woe is me, I'm going to throw in a towel.
And then as using him as a definition of a friend, we certainly don't want those just men or women friends around us all the time. Oh, yeah, anything. He said, no, we need those people that will help us walk in our integrity, call us out when we've taken a step to the left or to the right and gotten off our, you know, off scene or off cue, and be able to be like, hey, look, I love you enough to tell you the truth. So look, let me hold your hand. Let me get you back over here and let me show you what you're missing by being to the left or to the right. Truly, that's all that correction is. It's not because you've done it wrong. It's because you just kind of missed the mark a little bit. And that's, you know, I was listening to Creflo Dollar this morning, and not only him, but the true definition of sin is just missing the mark. It's not like you necessarily are, well, sometimes we do, like, you know, go out and do something where we feel we're not supposed to, but, you know, it's like until we practice knowing that what that definition is, and then the more we get into our integrity, the less we're inclined to miss the mark as much or as drastically. And then, you know, I mean, it's just, it's confidence building, it's integrity building, but it's relationship building and knowing that he's that friend, that buddy. I think Zevon Franklin even used the word buddy. He's his buddy. How cool is that?
Right.
To know that the creator of all this world and this planet, who is in every detail so intricately, desires to be our buddy.
Yes, he does.
Crazy.
He does.
That's so cool.
Yes. So, yeah, that's great. Yeah, I love everything that you've shared with the audience. And, yes, we do have to always remember that the key ingredient is that we have to know our motivation, we have to fall in love with ourselves. And because God loves us, and he knew when he created you what purpose he had for us. So, but I'm going to give us a moment at this final hour for you all to just share with our audience how they can get in touch with you and anything else that you like to say really quick. So, Danica, I'll let you go ahead and share with us.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been such a wonderful time with you ladies and just so powerful and re-energizing. And if anyone would like to, like I said at the beginning of the show, get more information on me or in touch with me, my website is danicatreble.com, danicatreble.com. And I'm peeking through my notes real quick to just see if there's one thing that jumps out at me that's like the lasting nugget to take with you. Just, you know, stay in your lane. Stay in your lane. Know that your movie is, you are co-writing your movie with the creator of all things. And he's already got he starts with the end in mind. So everything's already divinely laid out for us. And that's the part of faith that he desires for us to just trust. Even if it's, you know, if you know your life isn't where you'd want it to be and there's this burning desire, or even just this little flicker of something better for you, go with it. Just go with it. And if you need one of us to hold your hand and do it with you, sure, we're here for you. You know, we'll love to help you, but, you know, just trust who you are. Trust who you are made to be and run with it and keep your blinders on. Stick with people who believe in you and your purpose. Get to know God on your level, on the level he desires you to know him, so your walk can be your movie. And you're the star that is got that one thing that the world needs to be able to be a better place when everybody sees what you got. It's like that. And I'm excited to see what's going to happen in each person listening, especially in my co-host lives, because I know they were created for something huge as well. And it's been an honor to spend time with you ladies and the listeners. Thank you all so much.
Thank you too, Danica. We've enjoyed you also.
Absolutely. So again, my name is Trina Ramsey. And I am a career and life coach. You can find out more about me on mycoachtrina.com, and that's mycoachtrina.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at Perspective Plus. And I have a Facebook page, Perspective Plus Coaching, and then you can find me everywhere else, Trina Ramsey. I'm on pretty much all of the social media. This has been a phenomenal day, 2 hours of powerful positivity, certainly spoke to my soul. It's been a great pleasure to share this time with you ladies. And if you heard anything that encourages you to step out on faith in your career, I encourage you to reach out to me. I'd love to talk to you. Talisha?
Great. Thank you so much. Yes, and thank you all listeners for listening in on this show with us. Like I say, it was truly amazing. Thank you for sitting through all of my technical difficulties online. And if you would like to reach me, you can reach me at Talisha, that's TelecialIs, at experienceanew.com. And again, it's Talisha Ellis at experienceanew.com. Because experienceanew does represent the freedom to be. Because it's only when you align who you are with what you do and everything that's in it with what you do, who you are, that you're able to truly enjoy true success and create harmony in your life and in love everything that's in your life. God is in control, and he can make you. You just have to let your faith guide you. So this is thank you for listening to this evening, and thank you for co-hosting this show with me. I hope you enjoyed this past hour and found it engaging, and we look forward to seeing you on another show soon. Thank you all.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.